Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
Well, it's great to see so many of you here tonight on this balmy Christmas Eve evening. Parties. We just simply love them, don't we? I mean, think about it. Where would you be when you go to a kid's party if it wasn't for cupcakes? I mean, the ladies are smiling, but dads, they're actually for the kids. And when you go to those parties, the birthday cakes that mum's usually slaved over for days, way better than the desserts on MasterChef. Parties are everywhere. Parties are, in fact, part of our fantasy world. For those who remember Alice in Wonderland, there was the Mad Tea Party. And now there are 5 Disneyland themes throughout the world, and one of the rides is the Mad Tea Party ride. Parties, we love them. It doesn't matter what size they are, doesn't matter what shape they are, doesn't matter what the reason for them is. We simply love parties. From formal tea parties, maybe quick hands up, who's been to the Windsor for an afternoon tea party? Okay. They're probably not going to stay in business. Maybe in a West End London hotel for a beautiful afternoon tea party. All the way through to street parties or what you might call block parties. Over the years, we've lived in different places. One of those places was just outside of New York City. And the family has just been part of some great street or block parties. Where we lived was at the end of a long, no-through road. And it was just ideal. It was great for street parties, not Christmas parties, because it was very cold. And the year that we were there, I think it snowed for 6 weeks. So it wasn't a Christmas street party, but at Thanksgiving, this was just a fantastic get-together. This long street, kids playing, good conversation, and a banquet with the most beautiful roast turkey. People simply love getting together. They love to come together. They love to celebrate. In fact, I reckon we've probably got some sort of inbuilt celebration button. We love parties, don't we? We love celebrating, whether it's birthday parties, whether it's tea parties, whether it's techno dance parties. I won't get you to put your hands up for those who go to them. Maybe beach parties, maybe slumber parties. And I need to declare to you when we talk about slumber parties that our daughter, won't give her a name out, our daughter actually has a PhD in slumber parties. From just a tiny little tot, she'd run up and say, Daddy, I just want to have another sleepover tonight. And from that little age, where she was just big enough to push the button in the video player, all the way through to young adult, there just was this procession of slumber parties in the McArdle household. There were mattresses, sleeping bags, makeup, videos, popcorn, Coke spilled on the carpet. We've actually become very expert in dealing with slumber parties. I wonder where you were when there was the change in the millennium. Because around the globe, there were massive parties celebrating the beginning of a new millennium. For some of you here, perhaps you remember that massive party that was held when the Berlin Wall collapsed. Remember that? The Berlin Wall collapsed, and with it, the Iron Curtain, seen as the end of the Cold War. So I don't think there's any argument about it. The reality is we love parties. We love to celebrate. And I reckon 2011 must be as a year designated as the year of the party planner. I mean, my guess is that up until 2011, you probably never heard that expression, party planner. I mean, it's quite a revered profession. We realised that it existed when a young woman by the name of Pippa Middleton strolled right across the TV sets of the whole globe and helped a bank account on the way. And all of a sudden, the profession of being a party planner actually seemed like a pretty cool way to spend your life. But I want you to pause and just think and ask yourself, who is it that came up with the concept of parties? Where did this desire in people of all ages, of all cultures, of all times. Where did that desire come from for people to come together and celebrate? Well, the answer is from God. That's where it comes from. Because the Lord, in fact, is the ultimate party giver. And in the most unlikely of settings, the world's mother of all celebrations is announced. An angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. That's not surprising. But the angel said to them, "Don't be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all of the people. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." A king has been born. The Christ. The anointed one. The king. This king who had been prophesied for literally millennia before, that the day would come when the king would come. And now the king has come. Because God the Father has placed God the Son, that is Jesus, in authority over our world, and God's grand project of setting this world right, and you'll agree that the world needs to be set right, this grand project has actually begun. And we proclaim the coming of the King, don't we? In carol after carol. Joy to the world, the Lord has come, let earth receive her King. Or Christ by highest heaven adored, Christ the everlasting Lord, late in time, behold him come, offspring of a virgin's womb. Or joyful all ye nations, rise, join the triumph of the skies, with the angelic host proclaimed. Remember the words? Christ is born in Bethlehem. Hark, the herald angels sing. Glory to who? Glory to the newborn King. When you and I receive an invitation to a party, it doesn't matter what it is, whether it's a slumber party — our daughter's probably sent half of you invitations to a slumber parties — beach parties, block parties, Christmas parties, birthday parties, doesn't matter what it is, when we get the invitation, there is a sense of excitement. And then the day comes. But sometimes the parties go belly up. Our little Susie at her birthday party runs up to her mum sobbing, inconsolable, "Mummy, mummy, the kids are picking on me. They're laughing about my dress." And a party is ruined. As the dance track pumps out at the techno party, Tom is energized, thinking to himself, "Wow, this is really cool." Someone comes up, offers him a tablet. He's got no idea what's in it, but he takes it. And 2 days later, he wakes up in ICU, cardiac failure, kidney failure. And not much of a party. And not much of a celebration, is it? As families gather tomorrow for Christmas meals, it's not uncommon for family disputes to break out. Too much jungle juice, and in a second, a great celebration turns into a disaster. There's probably many here that have actually experienced that. What about on the world scene? When that Berlin Wall collapsed, the Iron Curtain came down, there was just this great sense of hope in the world of a new era. Is that what's happened? No, we've just simply moved from the likelihood of nuclear destruction from a Cold War through to terrorism. We know that because as people in their millions head off for holidays over the next couple of days and they go through airports, the spectre of disgusting, indiscriminate killing through acts of terrorism will be very much in people's faces as they line up to go through security checks. Something's wrong. It's like a message coming from a stricken spacecraft to mission control. Houston, we have a problem. And we know, all of us know, that there is something wrong, and more than that, we actually know that we ourselves can't fix it. There is just this fundamental problem in the human condition. And that's why the angel's announcement is simply so fantastic. That's why it is good news of great joy. The King has come. God the Father has placed God the Son, Jesus, in authority over the world, and his grand project of setting the world right has begun. But this process of bringing the world to the point where there's an ongoing, ecstatic, and I mean it, ecstatic, fun-filled, never-ending celebration, this is no small task to bring the world to that point. But that point, that sort of celebration, that's exactly what the Lord wants for the world. Indeed, that's what the Lord wants for every person. That is what the Lord wants for you as an individual. But in order to bring the world to that point of this never-ending, fantastic celebration, something described in just three letters does have to be dealt with. Because sin, that deadly virus, is what has to be dealt with. Sin is what leads us to actually worship anything and anyone other than the living God. It's sin that actually ruptures the relationship between God and ourselves. It's sin that actually screws up relationships horizontally between men and women. And yet God, in amazing grace, a God in stunning mercy, has come. It's a wonder of Christmas. Like, that God has come himself. It's this word over here on the wall, Emmanuel, God with us. He has come to deal with that three-letter word. He has come to fix the rupture between himself and mankind. So it's right when people say that Christmas is about giving, but it's about God giving us his Son to take on human flesh, to die for our sins, to actually go to a cross and actually die there as my substitute, in fact to die there as the substitute for each one of us here tonight. But he didn't stay dead. He rose again, bringing in a new creation. He rose again, bringing in new life. And one day, that new creation will be a total transformation of the whole cosmos. And that will be completed when the Lord Jesus returns. So at this season of Advent, we remember it through candles. There are two comings of Jesus that we remember. We look back. We look back to his first coming. We look back to when he came as King. We look back to when he came as Lord. We look back to when he came as Saviour. Today in the town of David, a Saviour has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Friends, this is the greatest announcement that's ever been made. This is an announcement that will never be repeated. This is an announcement that, in fact, never needs to be repeated. And no wonder that heaven itself erupted in praise at this announcement on that night about 2,000 years ago. Glory to God in the highest heaven. On earth, peace to those on whom his favour dwells. Jesus the King. Jesus the Saviour has been given to the world, but it's very personal. Jesus the King, Jesus the Saviour has actually been given to you and to me. And he's going to usher in the biggest, the most ginormous, I used that word the other week and got away with it, so I thought I'd repeat it, the most mind-bogglingly great party that we could ever imagine. This is God and men and women together. It's peace. It's no little Christmas dinner disputes. It's harmony. It's ecstasy. It's excitement. It's creativity. This is the mother of all parties. And it will begin when the Lord Jesus returns. And that's the second coming of Jesus that we remember in the season of Advent. It is a certainty that Christ is coming back. But don't miss out on being ready for him. Because the ticket to this party of all parties is actually offered to everyone. It's not select. It's offered to every person, regardless of race, culture, age, gender. And the price of the ticket has actually been paid in full by God himself. And that's what we're going to remember in just a few moments as we come to the communion table. It's a simple meal. It's taking some bread, it's taking some either alcoholic wine or the non-alcoholic grape juice. Simple, but extraordinarily profound, because this makes us remember that first coming when God himself came and died for us to fix that problem that stops us being in that party. And when we take communion, we also remember that Christ is coming back. Just as it is absolute historical fact that God came in the person of Jesus Christ 2,000 years ago, it is a fact that Christ will return and the party will begin. The question then on Christmas Eve 2011 is, how do I get a ticket? How do I get a ticket to the mother of all parties? And the answer's simple. It's described in the terms of turning like that, at least metaphorically like that, turning to Jesus and continuing to trust in him. It's like walking with him. Continuing to trust in him as Saviour and Lord. So my prayer is that all of us will be, that are here tonight, that every one of us will actually be at the mother of all parties when Christ returns. It's great to have you here tonight as we celebrate the birth of the King. I pray that your whole family, your loved ones, will have a blessed Christmas as we celebrate, as we commit ourselves to the Christ of Christmas.